Hello? Good morning, everybody. It's lovely to see you. I think we've got the sound of a mighty rushing wind outside at some points this morning, but hopefully you'll be able to hear me. We're looking today at the subject of belonging in the God's family, which continues our series for the first 3 months on being saturated, because to be saturated with God is to also really belong in God's family. And we're looking at the 1 Peter chapter 2 passage, which I'd encourage you to open your Bibles, please, and have a look at together. And it's an encouraging word today, encouraging us to really belong. I would encourage you, by the way, because I wasn't able to be here last week with that thrilling announcement about St. Michael's. I'm so delighted that Lydia and Mark are going to be neighbors and at St. Michael's, and that we get an opportunity to be partners together in the kingdom of God, to partner with St. Michael's, with us at St. Mary's. And I would really commend that meeting to you if God is calling you to be part of that graft. You remember the analogy in gardening, when two plants are grafted together, it's with the purpose of propagating new fruit. And that's what this is about, to see new fruit born in Loughton for the kingdom of God. So I really want to warmly commend that meeting to you if you're considering that. But we're looking at belonging, and for lots of churches, belonging to a church is something that is more like a club or a hobby, but it's not like that here. Our heart is that we are like a family on a mission, and that we want to connect with one another and care for one another so that we may also glorify God and bring people to Christ and really connect in that way. That's the heart that we have, to connect together, to belong, to have church family, to build friendship for that purpose. I remember I started out my church life in the Church of Scotland, up in the west of Scotland, in Argyllshire, the kirk up there. And I was baptized in the Church of Scotland. I wouldn't say that particular church was the warmest church, if I'm honest, in every way. It wasn't so much like that. It was much more of a come on a Sunday and that's it, and everybody just attended church. You attended church rather than belonged to a church. And it wasn't until later on, and my family moved away from the Hebrides, and we attended a Baptist church in the northeast, up in the city of Elgin, one of the smallest cities in the UK, Elgin Baptist Church, that I really experienced that shift from attending a church to belonging to a church. And there is a difference. When you belong, you feel that you're really part of that church family. And it's a kind of a bit of an emotional distinction, I suppose, because you're really part of that church family. You really feel a friendship and a connection and a care of the people around you. And then later on, I've attended various churches. It wasn't my first Anglican church, wasn't until I was 21, which might explain a lot. But I haven't got a background in the Church of England, but it was when I was 21, went to St. Stephen's Twickenham, which is an incredible church, something like 600 people in that church. And that's where I actually felt like I really came home. That for me was like a homecoming, coming to that church. I remember the first time coming up to receive communion, actually walking up to the front to receive communion, was a bit of a revolution to me, because communion had always come to me before that. Many of us have been in churches where communion comes around to you in your chair. But actually, I went forward, and that's when God called me into the Church of England. At that time, after university, went to St. Stephen's Twickenham. And we've been in many churches since. Caroline and I started married life in St. Aldate's in Oxford, church of 1,000 people there. Remarkable church that has it right in the city center of Oxford. And we again felt, and every time since being in that Baptist church in Elgin, I felt like I've really belonged. I've really thrown myself in right at the heart of the church, wanted to serve, wanted to belong, wanted to roll up sleeves and get into the church community. And we did that in St. Aldate's. We were life group leaders, effectively. We actually planted a new life group. We only had a one-bedroom flat, but we had 30 people in it. Imagine that, in the life group. It was close fellowship. Some people sat on the floor. But did they mind? No, because there was a massive buzz. There was a huge enthusiasm and momentum about it. And so we enjoyed that. And we actually planted out. It was our first experience of church planting, seeing a new group come out of that life group. So, but these are my experiences of church. But I've always felt deeply committed, deeply wanting to belong. And I think that's the cry in everybody's heart. Everyone wants to belong in some way, to be really part of something that makes a difference. And I think that's our heart's desire, and it is our heart's desire here at St. Mary's too. And I just want to look very quickly in 1 Peter 2, because that tells us how we can belong. Because there is a bit of a war on connection and belonging in our culture today, whether it's social media or so many things, just sheer busyness that stops people really belonging, stops people really connecting with one another. Everybody's in their own bubble so often, and it's quite hard for us to burst those bubbles and break free from our itineraries, from all of our phones and from all of our commitments individually, to actually make space in our lives to connect and to be friends and to really know other people and to be really part of something bigger than ourselves. There's a real war on that. And it's a struggle today to belong. But 1 Peter speaks about it, and I'm just going to quickly speak about it. It's in verse 1 is the first way. It says, "Therefore rid yourselves of all malice and deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind." And that's telling us that we've got some barriers in our lives to belonging. Some of those could be things like hypocrisy, where we kind of worry about what people will think of us, and so we lead a certain life that is a life that's more like with a mask on than really who we are, so that we won't be rejected. Because one of the great problems of belonging is there's a need for acceptance, but will we really be accepted by other people as we are? And so we end up, sadly, living in hypocrisy. But the Bible says, get rid of hypocrisy. It actually says, rid yourselves, which I think is a very direct statement of Scripture, but it's not saying wait for God to do it. It says, you do it. We need to do this. Get on with it. Rid yourselves. God isn't going to do it for you. You do it. Rid yourselves. These barriers, enemies of belonging, hypocrisy, envy. That's another barrier, isn't it? Comparison with other people and slander. If we start talking about one another unhealthily, we're never going to connect. We're never going to belong to one another. The next one is, it says, crave pure spiritual milk. And it says there, by doing so, you're going to grow up spiritually. Sometimes we need to grow up. And we grow up through getting deep into the Word of God. Getting deep into that pure spiritual milk, that healthy nourishment. So we've got to get rid of some things, but we've also got to gain some things, the purity of the Word. My youth worker used to say, garbage in, garbage out. You know, what goes in is important because it will impact what comes out of us. And if we're taking in pure spiritual milk, out from us will come life and belonging and love and care and connection. But if we're putting in the wrong stuff, if we're just putting in a diet of, I don't know, criticism and envy and slander and those things, it's not going to be healthy. Then in verse 4 it says, as you come to him. We've got to come to Christ. It's Jesus the living stone, capital S. We come to him. He's the cornerstone. Jesus is at the center of our community. Jesus is the glue that makes us belong. It's Jesus that we have in common. He's our Father, and we are brothers and sisters, sons and daughters of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you come to him, he was rejected, but he'll never reject you if you come to him. And those who do reject him will end up stumbling, verse 8. But we don't want to be those who reject him. It says that we are, if we come to him, then we're going to be built up to become living stones. The closer we get to God, the closer we get to one another. As you come to him, you are being built up into a spiritual house, a community of living stones, a holy priesthood, offering sacrifices to God, acceptable to God. And there's this lovely little phrase here where it says, "See, I lay in Zion a chosen and precious cornerstone." It says, the one who trusts in him, that's Jesus, will never be put to shame. When we put our trust in Jesus, he will glue our community together. It's so interesting. It says, we will never be put to shame. Shame is one of the biggest enemies of belonging. There's a lovely, it's not just lovely, it's really powerful actually, TED Talk by Brené Brown on YouTube, which is only 16 minutes long, but is really profound. And she speaks there about our longing for connection, our longing for community. And the best way that we can actually build community together is through vulnerability. And the biggest enemy of community is shame. And so to defeat shame in our lives, we need to become more vulnerable. And I think that's really powerful because it's actually right here in the Bible verse. If we can trust and become vulnerable with God and with one another, we will never be put to shame. So I'm just going to leave that thought with you about really defeating shame, overcoming shame in our lives is so important. To building community, to building trust, to building connection, care, belonging is so important. And in verse 6, we trust in the cornerstone. We will never be put to shame. And the final section there is a beautiful section of scripture that speaks about who we are as believers. It says, but you are a chosen people. Isn't that wonderful? A royal priesthood. A holy nation. Now, you may not feel like it today, but that's what we are. This is about facts, not feelings. In Christ, we are God's special possession. We are, so that we may declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness. It says, once you were not a people, now you are a people. Isn't that encouraging? Once you had not received mercy, but now you have. Wonderful, we've received mercy. We can live out of that place. That's a very liberating place to live from. We don't have to hide. We don't have to be in fear or shame or thinking that other people will reject us. That only leads to hypocrisy because then we put a false idea of ourselves out for other people so that they will accept us. No, we don't have to do that because Jesus has forgiven us. Jesus has taken our sins, and so we don't need to walk in shame or in fear or in rejection or in abandonment or any of these things, because our Father says, you are chosen, you are loved, you are special, you are God's special possession, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. That kind of people are a remarkable people, and that is who we are. And if we can get hold of who God has made us to be, that's going to be something that is going to be a tremendous glue, a tremendous opportunity for us to really connect, to really build friendships that are honest, vulnerable, that are loving, that are caring, that are supportive. And that kind of church, anybody would want to be part of. That's the kind of church Liveton is thirsty for. And it's the kind of church that Jesus calls us to be. This is an encouragement to us today to really be who we are in Christ and to live from that glorious identity as His children, His sons and His daughters. It's a wonderful thing. We could never, ever exaggerate it enough because it's so glorious. You are the beautiful bride of Christ. And so let's live like that, that we're loved. When you know you're loved, you can live differently, can't you? It just changes everything. When you're in love, it changes everything. And to know you're loved changes everything. And that is what the church is. Loved, chosen, called, blessed, special. And may we live that way in this coming week. May God help us to belong to one another and to love each other and to connect with each other in the way that He wants us to. Amen.